Weekly Conversation with Maitreya. The Weekly Conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone, welcome to the conversation room of the Mission of Maitreya. As usual, we're going to be here 1 hour or more, depends on how many questions you might have together. And I hope that you have 2 weeks to go to the website and study and realize the mission in a greater degree. These conversation rooms are not a regular church program that we come here every week and stay in it and listen to this conversation and the rest of the week do whatever we want and then come back next week again and just be with God for an hour or so. It is to call the elect to come together and they become a source of strength and channel for spreading the mission and God to humanity. And therefore, not me not being here once in a while means that you have to realize that everything is temporary. This room might not continue to be, or I might not continue to be here. It is a call to you to see this vision and spread it yourself by being connected to the mission and working with me at the same time. Indeed, it is your mission. When the message is given to you, you are the person who carries the mission to other people. So you are called here to really understand the teaching in a greater degree. So that is why, you know, it is an awareness of this is a great opportunity to be with the revealer here and ask your questions and learn and reach out in a greater degree and realize that you are fortunate that God has revealed this mission to you and at the same time realize everything is temporary and you are called to work with the mission. So, and also of course, sometimes, you know, the spirit have to be with me so I can come to you and bring it to you. If the spirit is not there and I don't feel like, you know, I can really reach out to you with the spirit of God, then of course, again, I will hesitate to come to the room. So it is not that I was sick or anything. It's just another awareness of all of us to recognize and realize that there's an urgency in this mission and this revelation, and each of us have to realize that we are a part of God's work. Therefore, We should not just rely coming here an hour a week and that's it. We done our duty. But if it's not a conversation, we get upset about it because we should not, because you should know the teaching and you should give yourself satsang or, actually there's a good opportunity. If there is no room, go to the website or read though in a greater degree and understand teaching more. So this might happen once in a while. So just be aware of the reasons for it. Of course, in the last 2 weeks, I hope many things also happened to you, and that a lot of things happened in the mission. Two of our brothers received their spiritual names, wonderful names. Of course, the spiritual names, like being rebirth, being and a start, a new phase of life. Now, your new name is a fresh name, has nothing connected to it. It is a spiritual name that you have to become. And anything connected to your name and your previous names can be completely dropped. And you become a fresh person, like a child, which is coming back with a fresh life. And they can start all over and learn their lesson from previous lifetimes and become a better person, a more godly person, more connected person. So, and also we had a beautiful child was born into one of our members, and that is, of course, a welcome sign also. And the children indeed are connected to God, and they have a lot of grace. That's why when they're born, there is so much grace comes with them. And as Christ said, you cannot enter the kingdom unless you become like a children. That's why we see when a child was to be born, everybody root for him, everybody love what's happening, they become emotional, some people even cry, and they become very happy because that child bringing so much grace with him or her. So you have to become like them. So everybody be happy seeing us, everybody be happy be with us, everybody is happy that he is with a person like a children, of course not childish, but like a little children. So we welcome the newcomer, and we hope that we have one day hundreds and thousands of millions little children that born into this revelation, and they learn about the eternal divine path and awaken of the process and creation of the communities of light, learn to how to sacrifice, not to teach them to be number one, but to teach them to share and create an environment that everybody can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. They learn how to become a surrendered and submissive one to God and His will, why they are here, why they have been created. And of course, strip all the prejudicity from their consciousness, things that separate people from one another, and create a humanity, a new man, a paravipras, people who truly have understood the eternal divine path and follow them. Of course, we have then a beautiful earth, a peace on it. The children can play with each other, no matter what cultures where they are from. They can have schools all over the world that they have all the people, working with each other and learning how to understand each other's cultures instead of trying to change them to ours or theirs and bring God's culture indeed to humanity. So children indeed bring a lot of emotions and beauty to humanity. And of course, this room is for conversation with me about the mission. And the mission of Maitreya, of course, is the latest revelation of God, actually the last revelation of God that reveals the whole truth to humanity and reveals that there is only one God, there is only one humanity, there is only one earth, and there is only one Messiah or revealer of the truth. And this Revealer has been coming. He's the Spirit of God, come to earth and bring a revelation to man to unify them, or to reveal a new revelation, or correct what revelation has come before him, and the things that has been changed in the scriptures are corrected in a way that they are according to the word of God. And now, of course, in this revelation, if you become familiar with it, you see it is has stripped all the dogmas from all the religion and brought the essence of each religion to humanity, and reveals to man that indeed God is one. There is no God, not many, that one of them belongs to Muslim, one of them belongs to Christian, one of them belongs to Jews, one of them belongs to Hindus and Buddhists and Baha'is and this and that. It's all one spirit, and it makes sense. It's logical. If there's one God, how can we have so many revelations and so many religions? Therefore, by understanding this, by understanding our teachings, we realize indeed God is one. There is not many of them. And it is the Spirit of God which revealed all the major religions of earth, in earth, like mystical path and Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Baha'is, and all the other religions which has come from them or is related to these major religions. So with this understanding, we have no excuse anymore to tell ourselves or our children or our society that we are different than them. They are having another prophet. Our prophet is the best, or our prophet is the last, or the we are the only people can connect to God and this and that. Although there is some truth in each of them, but it is not that black and white. And therefore, by this understanding, humanity has no choice but realize that, you know, they have to come together. And all the signs, of course, are there. There is upheaval and destruction and wars on earth. And these wars no longer are like the old one, that people could kill each other a couple of thousand by sword. We can kill millions and billions with a weapon of mass destruction. And therefore, we have to see the signs of the time and realize that its revelation is very timely, and it's time for humanity to realize there is only one God. There is not many of them. Of course, the revelation and the teachings have been put down, written down. It's perfected, it's finished, it's put on the website, it's published, it's sent to people. And the people who have received the revelation or read it, they know about it. And this is the only revelation that has been perfected and completed and published at the time of the revealer. And still, of course, as you can see, we come to this room and ask you if you have any questions. Have you have read the teachings? You have received the book? You have gone to our website? You have examined and tested the spirit? And most of you believed in it. Now, if you believed in it, if you have further question, come here and let's discuss it. If you have not believed in it yet, go and see and test the spirit and understand and realize the teachings. And of course, again, you have the question. There are many ways to ask your questions. You can send email to the mission, question@maitreya.org. You can go to our discussion group in the mission website there, or come to this room, and many, many other ways. Go ahead, Ed.
Hello. Well, you know, these are nice ideas, the unification of humanity, but we have four or five major religions with approximately 1 billion followers apiece. Do you expect these people to convert overnight to something else? These are ancient cultures and ancient religions with billions of followers. Are they going to convert overnight? What's the plan of action here? How do we create this happy planet?
Very, very good question, Carl. And indeed, there are religions, and still, if you see, there are still fighting with us, coming to our room. So far, we have not reached the critical mass, of course. We are a very new and young religion, and we are trying to reach to humanity. The course of action is been given to in a book called The Kingdom, and if you have gone to our website and study our a scripture called The Holiest of the Holies, a section is called Kingdom, that gives a clear system how to create the kingdom of God on earth. And of course, as you said, suddenly we wake up tomorrow morning and everybody follows this teaching and mission. Of course not. We are not naive. We understand the human nature very well. And also we know cultures, we know history, and we know that there's going to be resistance, and there is going to be a lot of people who will be very unhappy that a new revelation have come to God and they will not relent. But we are looking for the people who see this vision and come together and create a facilitating body. A facilitating body is a body that will become efficient and working organization that is filled with people who know these teachings and follow it, and they, of course, will disseminate these teachings all through earth and educate people how these revelations have come with the clear signs, with the fulfillment of the prophecies, and everything that God said will happen has happened, and little by little people can see the vision, and our number will increase to a point of the critical mass. Not only that, humanity will realize that none of the religion on earth at this time will bring peace to humanity. It is not a scriptural, it's not based on the word of God, and none of them have or given that permission by God to become the world religion or have the universal point of the view as this mission has. Therefore, we know we have a long work in ahead of us, but the word of God or the scriptures that prophesied clearly has said that his kingdom comes after the seventh angel and opening of the seven seals. And also, of course, there is a prophecy about the Kalki avatar, and as I don't know if you know or not, that is also a part of our teachings, that he will be incarnated three consecutive lifetime, and each lifetime, of course, he will further his this teaching, and in the third incarnation, he will establish the kingdom of God on earth. And therefore, we are not really expecting to establish the kingdom of God on earth in this lifetime, but to disseminate, to publish, to reach out to as many people as possible. So eventually, but the year 2017 or 18, we reach a point that this mission cannot be stopped anymore. Of course, it cannot even stop now, but that's it. But then it will reach a point that many people would know about it. They have read it. They have seen the vision. They have realized the word of God. They see, yes, indeed, God said this revelation will come, and therefore they're going to join us. And as the number increases, of course, it will reach a point of the critical mass, and also the events on earth eventually will convince many that their Messiah, their ideas, their dogmas, is that's what it is. It's just dogmas and their own human understanding, and eventually they relent to God's idea. And by then, of course, our organization have many communities of light is created all over the earth, and the hierarchy in that organization will come from these communities, and humanity little by little sees that is the only way to peace. Come together, create the communities of light, choose the leaders from these communities, and therefore it become a system of the benevolent, spiritual, high ideal people who will bring the peace and unity to humanity and justice on earth, and they reach to a space for the limited resources on earth, and therefore we will not fight for the limited resources, we will not fight for cultural differences, we will not fight for religious, you know, misunderstanding and dogmas, and eventually human will grow up. That is the growing pain we are going through at this time, and humanity is growing up, but they have not really grown up completely. They are teenagers that, you know, their ideas and hormones is going faster than their brain, and that is what we are at. But eventually they will mature to an adult, and they see how logical these teachings are, and therefore, and it's based on the Word of God. It is logical, it makes sense, it explains the science, it explains the universe, it explains history, it explains everything you want to know. And therefore, little by little, logical and adulted people will come together, and we can then bring the peace on earth. It is a process, it is a work that has to be done, but those who have been called for it, they realize that, you know, they have no choice. They are a part of this process, and they are a part of God's work, and therefore they come and they will start the process. Everything has to start somewhere. This teaching starts by being revealed to me, and then I reached out. It wasn't an easy job. It was a lot of work. Now a lot of people know about it. They reach out eventually, and it's not going to be easy for them, because we really are swimming against the current, you know. The current is being selfish, current is not being godly, current is, you know, every culture for itself, and a lot of ego and selfishness is on earth. So, but we want to create an environment based on the eternal divine path, which is not based on the human nature. We understand it's difficult, but at the same time, those who have been called for have no choice. So this is the plan of action. Creation of the facilitating body, dissemination of the teaching and reaching to humanity, creation of communities of light, and eventually waiting for humanity to reach a point that they realize, yes, indeed, this is the way out and peace, and they come together and create the kingdom of God on earth. So you can see it is not just a theory we are presenting here to humanity. There's a precise system, and the way of creating it also has been given. So it is a perfect religion, a perfect revelation in every aspect you look at it. Okay, Madhun is asking, I think so we can begin to discover ourselves, because the house of the God is personal heart. How can clean our hearts? I think we can begin to discover, okay, it's the same thing. And there are a lot of children in the dark streets. What can we do for them? Okay, the first question, apparently, Madhun is asking that the kingdom is within, and we have to clean ourselves, and therefore, that started the self. Exactly, you are absolutely correct. But if you go to our website and if you read our teachings, you see God has revealed it is more than knowing thyself. That is the beginning. And that is what called mystical path. This covered Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Christian saints, Sufis, and everybody anybody else that teaches know thyself, to know God, or awaken your spiritual forces, or realize yourself, overcome your psychological hang-up, and all the things that human is trying to overcome and know thyself. That is the beginning of it. That's the first step. The second question you are having actually goes very well with the greatest son. And there are a lot of children in the dark streets. What can we do for them? That is when the community of light, the second step comes, and that is the teaching of the New Testament, the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, if you study, God is trying to choose a people that called the elect, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, the children of light, and these people created the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, tribe means community. And in this community, God and His laws will be followed, and therefore God become the center of reference to our lives, and people become godly. And in that communities, of course, selfishness is not prevalent. Therefore, the resources in the community will trickle down to those children that are in darker streets, and they don't have anybody to help them, because human is so selfish, and the big cities and people are so disconnected from their heart that they do not see this calamity that is happening to those children, and they are ignored. And this is not only, I don't know where you are from, but wherever you are from, it is in all the large cities. Also, it is some of the third world countries. They don't have enough to eat even. You know, they have probably 70, 80 cents a day income. And of course, with that, they cannot do anything. So it is the suffering is great. And the number of humanity, of course, is increasing. It is well known, the poorer you are, the more children you will have. And because the nutritional effect on the body is when your body is not receiving enough nutrition, it is a warning to the body, make more children, because this body is not going to last long. So the poor people, they have more children, and the situation gets more miserable every day. With this teaching, eventually, of course, we will, one of the channel we will have in the organization, helping the poor and providing places for these children and disease, and teaching them how to learn, how to earn, to, you know, some income for themselves. We are trying to create self-sufficient people. That's why we recommend everybody in the mission, those who are not full-time worker for the mission, get a job, have an income, help us to create an environment that we can help other people. So that one also has been given. This is a great organizational vision, which eventually have many departments, many sections that can handle many different problems that exist on Earth. So there is going to be a system also that has ability to help those in need. Of course, there are organization on Earth right now that they claim they are doing the same thing, but 70 to 75% of the money they gather goes for their own expenses. So the poor and needy gets only 25%, but the head of that organization gets millions of dollars, you know, a year. So you can see, you know, the original purpose and reason for those organizations, of course, are lost and no longer functional. In our organization, most of the workers will accept minimum lifestyle, and they will direct the rest to help in needy. And of course, as we reach to the space, and we be able to have unlimited resources, then we can even help the poor and needy in a greater degree. Therefore, at this time of course those children cannot be helped much with the mission, and I wish we could have helped them in a greater degree. At this time, of course, we don't have the resources to do that, but they are not forgotten. Not nothing and nobody and no religion is forgotten in this mission. The whole idea is geared toward the creation of physiological and safety need of everyone, and then directing them to become self-actualized or God-actualized or ego-actualized, and that is the goal of life, to become divine, become pure consciousness, become one with the essence of ourself, which is God. And when we do that, the more people become like that, the less material thing they need. The reason the people are so materialistic is because they have not touched their essence, and therefore they want to fulfill the longing for infinite with a finite thing. So therefore they work hard, they buy one car, you know, they say, if I have a car, I will be satisfied. When you are a teenager, you want a car. And then, of course, you get the job, you get, you know, more money with as you become more adult, you want two cars, you know, then you become three, and then you become, you want a house, and you become a bigger house, you want to have a vacation house, and then you want to have an airplane, and then yachts, and then on and on, and everybody wants that. And the reason is they want to fulfill that emptiness, which is godliness in them, with many material things, and it doesn't satisfy them. Actually, I have seen the happiest people in a village in Iran, that they were more happy than the people they have yachts and many billions of dollars. So the money to a point probably is needed to take care of the physiological and safety needs of the person. But after that, actually become a burden, because you have to invest it, you have to worry about what is the rate goes up, the rate goes down, is it, you know, the market is up or down, and where should I invest, where should I not spend, invest, and after become a drag in your life and happiness. The more you have, the more you want, and that is absolutely the sign of unrealized soul. It's a sign that it is, that this external world is the reality for them. And therefore, with creating more people with their essence realized by them, the less material thing they need, they create communities of light which take care of their physiological and need, safety need. When a child is born in a community of light, he has a lot of people take care of him. He will experience many energies in the community of light. And because it's a community, everybody is going to be feel safe, and there's not going to be burglars, there's not going to be destruction and fear in neighborhood, and we don't need even neighborhood watch, because in the neighborhood everybody knows each other, and if there is an stranger comes, there are some people in the neighborhood easily can recognize that person and say, hey, this person is not from here, who are you, and they will not have the ability to do any damage to them. So we can see, no, there is no question, there is nothing in on earth that which is not resolved with this teaching and the communities of light. Diraxia, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Maitreya. How are you doing today? That is very interesting what you just said. Let me ask you a question. Over in the places such as India, okay, let's look at India, where they, you know, believe mostly in Hinduism, and they believe, you know, in the reincarnation and everything. Why is it that that place, which should be the jewel of Hinduism, why is it that there is such rampant poverty? And why is it that they hold to this caste system, which, as you yourself must know, is very, very unfair, because it treats many of the people as untouchables and, you know, as inferior. It is interesting because Mahatma Gandhi, he said that the Christian missionaries who came to India did more to help, you know, the poor people of India than thousands of years of Hinduism has. I would like to know, what is your view on this, my friend?
Very, very good question, Dirac C. Indeed, if you study our teaching, you can see why India is in the shape he is, or it is, or she is. The reason for it is the mystical path. The Hindu religion teaches that the goal of the life is to go back to Godhead and, like a drop of water, fall into the ocean and become ocean. Therefore, social aspect is not emphasized, and it's a very selfish way of, I want to go to God by myself, and I don't care what is going around me and my community, and therefore social work and sharing with each other and create an environment that everybody will be taken care of physiologically, and their safety needs is not present in that system and teachings. And that is where the Hinduism, Buddhism, and many mystical paths fall. And this is a selfish path that says, I am selfish enough to forget everybody else and go to God directly, and I am better than these untouchables, that they are so miserable that I don't even want to touch them. I can push them down in the society and absolutely go to God. And that is, of course, the dogma and the wrong thing with the mystical path. That is why in our teaching, if you study, the next step is the creation of the communities of light. Creation of communities of light means to create an environment that everybody has their physiological and safety needs been taken care of, and there is an action should be taken with everyone in the community to improve everybody's life. So. And of course, everybody has to sacrifice to create such an environment and surrender and submit to God and become a universalist. That is the five step of the eternal divine path. Therefore, your question has been answered in our teaching clearly, and it shows why in India is in such a bad shape, and why the Christian missionary do more for Indians than Indian themselves. Go ahead.
Well, interesting, I see. So then in a much wider way, in a much wider way, Maitreya, is it correct, I want to know from you, is it correct to say that all religions and all beliefs and all forms of spiritualism are correct, are right, or are many of them wrong? What is the right way? I'm curious.
Apparently, you have come to the right place. That's exactly the answer is being given in this mission and this revelation, and that each religions on earth have a specific message for humanity. The message of Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Christian saints, Sufis, and any other path that says know thine self to know God is the first step. It is the beginning of the path. It is not the end. It is just awakening yourself to realize that, you know, your essence and God is one. And then, of course, the second step is the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament in the Bible, the whole Old Testament is explaining how God is trying to find a people that called the elect or children of Israel, that they will create a community based on God and his revelation and laws, and he create that environment that this people in that community can progress in a greater degree. Indeed, the very teaching of Old Testament has come from the teaching of India and the Far East, and there are names like Shiva or Brahm, and all those names have come from, you know, Sanskrit name. And of course, Sanskrit is Indo-European language, so they are connected. But the next step, God creates this idea of the communities or the children of Israel or the 12 tribes. And therefore, the next step is to create the community of light. And therefore, Hindu religion or mystical path is not the ultimate. So after you start meditating, you create an environment that other people can also join you and create a place that physiological and safety needs are taken care of. And of course, to create such a community, you have to sacrifice. Everybody says in the community, what is it even for me? Only, of course, create an environment, selfish environment, that those who can make it, the poor become poorer and rich become richer. And of course, the gap increases to a point that the poor become untouchables. And so sacrifice is the message of the New Testament. Christ went all the way to the cross for his belief, and he sacrificed himself and released the grace to humanity. And therefore, the third step is Christianity or sacrifice. And the fourth step is Islam. Islam comes from the word taslim, means to be surrendered and submissive to God. So in the second step, you sacrifice a lot, and you do not succeed. You become depressed. You become unhappy. And you think you are the doer, and therefore you can attach to the result. That, of course, creates depression and unhappiness. Or you do succeed, and you create a big ego and say, he's me doing all this thing. I'm great. And that, again, cuts you from God because your ego becomes so huge. And that is what cuts humanity from God, indeed. It's our ego. The bigger ego we have, the more away from God we will be. And therefore, by realizing that you should not be attached to the result of your action, you realize you have to surrender and submit the result to God, and eventually realize what God has for you on this, in this lifetime to bring to humanity. And of course, that is surrendering to God, and greater than all that is to let God come through and do his work, and then surrender and realize that God is doing it through you because you know yourself. And therefore, that is the message of Islam. Islam comes from surrendering and submission to God. And if you surrender the result to God, or God, let God come through, then you are absolutely, your spirit and God are one. And when that happened, you of course become universalist, because you see that spirit to everyone. There is not such a thing, our spirit and their spirit, you know, and separate ourselves. And therefore, the next step is become universalist. That is the message of Baha'i. Baha'i is Bab and Baha'u'llah brought the message of universalism. And then, of course, you shatter all narrowness of the mind, and you expand yourself as a part of the universe, and everything is a part of it. And therefore, with this five step, you become an elect. If you study any religion, any scripture of God, it talks about the chosen one, the believers, the elects. And elects are those who follow these five steps, which at the same time unifies and gives the essence of the message of each religion. And therefore, this is the greatest path. This is the way out. This is the way of understanding. And this is what we have brought to humanity, to realize that they have to follow it another one path. See the essence of each religion, and if anything is not in that essence, is dogma and misunderstanding of that religion and man-made. But God, so in this revelation, it is absolutely clears and clarifies the all religions. Put everything that is not good in each religion away, and put the essence of that religion in. And therefore, it becomes the purest revelation and religion for humanity. And it's come to whole humanity because it covers all religion. Actually, it has come to in a language that has been influenced with a lot of other languages. It's influenced with Arabic, it's been influenced with Sanskrit, it's influenced with Latin, and it's a language. This is more universal than any other language. Go ahead, Dirac.
This is very, very interesting, Mr. Maitreya.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, in my studies of the world religions, you're correct in that there is always this idea, this concept of a coming one whom would deliver the people of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every religion has something of this sort.
That's right.
Now, who is the final coming one, the final prophet? Who is the final Messiah? Are you he, Maitreya? Are you God and the Messiah? Are you the final one?
Well, if I have to answer what Christ said, if I say I am, probably you will hesitate and you are going to have a hard time to believe in it. If I say I am not, I am lying. So it's really up to you to prove it to yourself that indeed these revelations have come from God. This is the last revelation. This is the unification. This is the fulfillment of all prophecies. This is the line of tribe of Judah that has been prophesied to come and bring the and open the seventh seal for humanity. The only thing I can tell you is go to our website, read of teaching, look at the prophecies, look at the genealogy, look at the opening of the seven seals, which when it opened, that was the only revelation that made the whole universe to rejoice, and then come to your own conclusion. If you come to your conclusion, it is your understanding. If I tell you, it is my understanding. Go ahead.
Well, that is an interesting answer, to say the least. However, in my studies, I have come to the firm conclusion, Maitreya, that the promised Messiah, the Redeemer, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And while the things you are saying contain many grains of truth, overall, you are a liar. Because Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one, that is no one, not you or me, comes to the Father, God the Father, except through him. He died on the cross for our sins. And this includes you, Maitreya. You must either come to him or be eternally separated. I am simply telling you the truth. You can accept it or deny it. I do not hate you. I feel very sad for you. And I believe that Maitreya himself is deceiving you, and Satan is behind him. That is really all I want to say about that. Have a nice day. Yes, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and there is a real hell. Come to Jesus, not Maitreya, okay? Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for our sins. Today, and Maitreya, please take what I am saying to heart before it is too late. I am now releasing the mic. Good day.
Well, I hope you stay and learn the answer to your accusations. Indeed, it is the same spirit that came as Christ. I say the same thing. You will not go to the Father but through me. And if you reject this revelation and the last revelation of God, I am sorry for your soul as well. And I pray that you will understand that you are wrong. Okay, well, he left. Apparently, coming to somebody's room and saying whatever you want and leave, that ego feels good about it. But they do not stay to learn the answer to their question, which is sad. Anyway, this is the way of the world, and we will have to deal with them. And the way humanity will hang into their belief, let them hang into what they have. Let the Christian kill Muslim, and the Muslim kill Jews, and Jews kill Muslim, and oppose Christian, and this and that. See who is the truthful one. And it is sad that they do not want even consider, at least study and see the truth and realize this is God who has sent all the religions. And now, of course, their dogma is more important than the truth and the word of God. And that is indeed sad. And we all have to pray for these people, that their eye might be open and they might come out of this absolute ignorance which have been imposed on them. And when the religion is full of dogma and pagan, you know, influences, that is indeed sad. And we have to indeed realize that where they are at, and pray for them and guide them as much as we can. Okay, well, I hope, you know, the rest of the people here in the room, they have gone to the website and they have studied our teaching, you know, with open mind and open heart, and deciphered the truth of this realization and revelation, and see the vision that humanity indeed have no choice eventually to recognize and realize it. Maybe this person come next lifetime, and maybe he or she come as a child of a person who is in the mission, and they will be cleansed from their dogmas and understand God in a greater degree. The good thing about our mission, we believe in reincarnation, and therefore it can take many lifetimes for some people to continue and eventually overcome all these dogmas that has been given to them. We understand them. We have Muslim coming to our room saying, you know, we are Dajjal. Christian come say we are the Antichrist. You know, Jews say no, the Messiah has not come yet, and all that. So it is not surprising for us. What should we do with these people? Should we let them talk and say whatever they want to say, or should we red dot them? I'd like to get a vote from everybody. Should we step up and say the truth? Red dot, Lou, we know who Matthew is. Interaction. Okay, okay. Gives rise, interaction, how? Had trouble redoubting him. Sorry, that's okay. At the point that they are doing is just saying you're a liar. All right. I think it depends on each situation. All right. It says let them speak and learn. Yes, Rooster, okay. But before that, I don't think, okay. Maybe if these who know this is the truth could just give testimony at those times. All right, as soon as some did today, all right. Let us conduct our rooms. Okay, I like the suggestion. Well, it's a very interesting topic. The one thing is when they do this, something like that, I feel they bring the energy down, energy of the room, because I'm in the middle of explaining their mission and high in connecting everybody to God, and suddenly somebody comes and just put dirt on, you know, what we're doing. But I can handle it. It doesn't matter to me. In another sense, if we cut them off all the time, then you know, they might have something interesting to say that help everybody. So it is a very interesting idea. Go ahead, Brahmamurti.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment that if they come to the mic and they say those things, I don't really think that that they are open to the truth. I'm not excluding the possibility that they are open, but what he was saying was just his ego is speaking, so he didn't want to open himself up to the truth. Anyway, I had a question, and I was reading the Revelation the other day, the Revelation of the Revelation, and I kind of got thinking if it was written in a chronological sense, so that you can read now this happens, and so on, like in a scale of time. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Brahmamurti, can you state just the question again?
Okay, I was reading the Revelation, about the Revelation, the last book in the Bible, and it shows things that has been and things to come. So my question is, was it written in a chronological way, so that you can pinpoint now this happens, now that happens, or does it jump around so that you have to know put together the parts like a puzzle?
Okay.
I hope the question makes sense.
Yeah, yes, it does make sense now. Okay, you're asking if the explanation in the Revelation is chronological, or it jumped all over the place, and instead of saying that's what happened. It's chronological, as you can read the Revelation. It's talked, of course, the seven steps or seven seals, seven candles, seven candlesticks, and all those, they are repeated two or three or four times, and they are the same thing repeated over and over, but always at the seventh angel, seventh candlestick, in the seventh level, it talks about it is finished, it's done, it is the end. And then, of course, after periods are explained, and then it explains at the end time that the woman with the scarlet and all the vile thing that she did will appear in a greater degree, and it's sitting on the beast, and it is then that eventually, suddenly, the whole world will fall and the kingdom will come. So we are at the end of the seven revelations, seven candlestick, and seven angels. Therefore, we are in the beginning of the destruction and the end. It's the beginning of the end, of that period. And after this revelation, of course, Earth is going to become even more fallen into Maya and destruction. And therefore, they will bring greater unhappiness and falling away from God to, that we can observe right now happening on earth. There is no religion which is not affected with dogmas and misunderstanding. There is no nation which is not fallen into Maya and destruction. There is no people who are completely godly. And even those who are godly are having a hard time because the tone on the television, says buy this, buy that, do this and do that. And you, if you watch most of the TVs for hours, there is not one word of God in them. If you even listen to the preaching channels, or they are all talking about the dogmas, and they separate themselves from each other and bring this more destruction to humanity. And therefore, we can see all the signs are there that indeed Maya and the worldly thing are even in a greater degree is affecting humanity. So we are at the time after the revelation of the seventh seal, and it is done. Go ahead, Brahmamurti.
Thank you very much. Because the reason I was asking the question was because I remember you have said that this is the time after the chapter 5, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you are already here. You are mentioned in chapter 10, verse 7. That the seventh angel raises his voice,
mm-hmm.
and blows a trumpet. So maybe you could explain.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now. Okay, well, in the fifth chapter, it talks about the opening of the book sealed with the seven seals. And nobody could open it. Eventually, the line of the tribe of Judah comes and opens it, and the whole universe rejoices. Okay, and that corresponds to the seventh angel. That corresponds to the seven seals. That corresponds to the seven candlesticks and seven, every seven that it's done. So in that sense, you have to see the chapter 5 when the seventh seals are open and the book sealed with the seventh seal is revealed is the same thing as those periods that the seventh level reaches, and if it's done, it's been given. Or the seventh, when the God will be a mystery in 10:7 in Revelation until the seventh angel comes. That corresponds with this chapters 5, that Christ will open the book with the seven seals. But also that chapter 7 means there is only one spirit which reveals all the seals to humanity, and that is the line of the tribe of Judah. He opened the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth seal, the fourth seal, the sixth seal, and the seventh seal. But everything is a mystery until that seven seals, seven angels come, seven seals are open, and seven candles are, you know, brought to humanity. Therefore, chapter 5 confirms that only one Messiah for the whole humanity. He is the Spirit of God which come to man. There's only one that no other man can open the seven seal but him. And if he wasn't permitted by God to do that, or couldn't do that, the whole mystery of God never would have been revealed to humanity. In the rest of the Bible Revelation, the seven periods are repeated over and over. And after every seven steps, of course, that's when the mystery finished and it's done. And then after it is finished explaining that, that is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Actually, in Revelation, it clearly says if it was not because of God's intervention, the devil even could kill the Christ itself and destroy him. But because he sent the flood after the woman and the child almost is overtaken and destroyed, but God will intervene and eventually we will win and the kingdom of God will come to earth. So that is our chronological way happen. So that chapters 5, although not talks about the seven seals, and at the, when all the seven seals are open, it is done. It also confirms that only one spirit, the Christ, only can open the all the seven seals, and therefore there will be seven revelation, seven religion, and as our teaching clearly explains what those seven revelation religions are, because this revelation of is the revelation of the seventh angel, and it is done. That's why it is so perfect. This revelation is absolutely perfect, and it's for the whole humanity. I hope that answered your question. If it didn't answer your question, just raise your hand and follow up so we can completely explain what it does. In summary, chapter 5 is the explanation of opening of the seven seal by Christ. Then 3 times or 4 times it repeats itself that there were seven seals, seven angels, seven candlestick, all those sevens, and then after each seven, of course, is the mystery finished. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to pick up on the following chronological order of the Book of Revelations. My question is, the three incarnations, the Hindu prophecy, the avatar, where does that fall in which chapters, which gaps does that come into place?
Okay, well, I suppose your question is where that comes in the Bible, where in the Bible talks about this three incarnation. If you study Bible, it talks about that Christ come as the thief of the night. And then he comes also as a conqueror and the king of the kings, and will have the last war, or the last war between the good and evil, and eventually Christ will overcome the evil and establish the kingdom of God on earth. So there is a conflict between being a thief of the night and being a conqueror and establishing the kingdom. It was a mystery that eventually was resolved by understanding. That makes sense if there is three incarnation. One incarnation, he come as a thief of the night. He come very quietly. He reaches out. He preaches to few people. He complete his revelation. As it is done already. And then, of course, these elects will respond to him, and the number will increase. And little by little, they will create the facilitating body, and eventually will implement the work of God on earth. And when the number reaches a point that they have reached the critical point, of course, they can take over, or eventually humanity realize this is the way out, and then they join them, and the kingdom of God will come. So in the Bible, of course, a great attempt has been put to take all the references to reincarnation out of Bible, but of course it did not succeed, because we know that John the Baptist was a reincarnation of the Elijah, and therefore in the Bible it's very hard to find the reference to reincarnation, but of course we know that it is there. So by understanding the thief of the night and conqueror of conqueror, we realize that they are conflicting with each other. So the only way to explain it is there is more than one incarnation. Go ahead, open eye.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'm aware of the answer. I understand what you're saying. Yes, it is very hard to find any references about the reincarnation. And the point that the Feast of the Night, conquering King of Kings, done in the book of Isaiah. Now, but that is the reason why I brought this up, is because of the question, the previous question, the chronological in the book of Revelations. That's the only one I'll find out in that particular book, because it's the, because you are the Feast of the Night, and there's still two other people to come. I was wondering only in the book of Revelation where it fits in. Although, as you said, it's very hard to find, because it's already been taken out, all the references of the reincarnation. Maybe it's difficult, but although John the Apostle, who was in a trance when this was given to him, hopefully that was all complete without distorted. As everyone knows, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, anyone who adds or deletes will whatever suffer consequences. But throughout history, I'm hoping man has not tried to take anything out. But the book of Revelation that we have in our hands today, can we confirm it hasn't been taken out? Thanks.
Well, actually, if you study the Revelation, the book of Revelation, you might actually even see in the book of Revelation the three incarnation, because at chapter 13, when the dragon, you know, goes after the woman and sends the flood to destroy it, at that time it seems that Christ and the Holy Ghost are not strong enough to stand against the Maya or the dragon. And the dragon is almost wins it over and destroy the woman, Holy Ghost, and the truth, and the child. But of course, God will not let that have happened. So you can say that is the incarnation of coming as the thief of the night. And then, of course, later on, he's the conqueror and conquered, and he is the Lord of the Lords, and eventually will bring the kingdom of God on earth. So maybe in the next incarnation or incarnation after, he eventually reaches the point that indeed he is able to overcome that problem. So you can see even in the Revelation, you might see the incarnation and three reincarnation right there by understanding that part. I hope that answers your question there. Okay, Yugal Kishur Das is asking, you are very generous to give your association to lost souls like me. Oh, well. Okay, well, thanks very much. I don't know what the question is there, but God is humble, God is reachable, God is available to humanity. Actually, God is always with you. There is no time that God is not with you. It is us, and that we disconnect ourselves from God. And sometimes even people don't want to go to God because they're afraid that they're not worthy. But God is not like that at all. And he always is waiting for you to go to him, and he is always available for you to go to God. Therefore, God is humble, God is available, God is reachable. God is not something that the sinners, or if you think you are a sinner, you should just stop sinning and purify yourself, and believe me, God is there for all of you to reach. What is your destination of meditation? The destination of meditation is to creation of the comings of light, sacrifice, surrendering and submission to become a universalist and become an elect. Therefore, we can create the kingdom of God on earth and accelerate the process of reaching back to Godhood for the whole earth and humanity. That is the goal of our meditation and the goal of life. That is the revelation of God and the will of God for humanity to see and follow. Michael Slight is asking, can you give us example of excess comfort versus comfort that is acceptable to God? Well, excess comfort can be explained in different cultures and different situations on earth differently. In general, of course, first, everyone on earth should have their physiological and safety needs taken care of. If you have two coats and your brother doesn't have any, give one to him or her. And if you have extra that it seems excessive in compare with those who are dying of starvation, it's better to not increase your comfort but decrease their suffering, and therefore give of what you have to them. Even better than giving to them what you have, teach them how to support themselves and be fair and just to them, so they also can progress in their situation, so they will have their physiological and safety need be taken care of. At this time, of course, we can only give suggestions for how to bring justice and more acceptable situation for humanity. But that in our organization, when the kingdom comes, Paravikras have the ability to distribute the wealth in such a way that the minimum is been created for everyone on humanity. But until that time, each person have to recognize their situation and see if they are too comfortable or they have excess comfort, and they can, of course, bring that to a smaller comfort and give some to those that they have no comfort. Therefore, at this time, it is individual decision. In the Communities of Light, of course, everybody contribute into the community, and the leaders in the community will take care of those who are less fortunate and will encourage those who are more fortunate to give more, so they can distribute and bring a greater equity to those in the community. But also God said, don't take the wine and the wheat, and do not destroy those who have more. Those who have ability to have more and contribute more to human existence, of course, God also gives them ability to have a little more. But if the excesses is affecting everybody else in their lives, they should relent and not to go more luxury and more luxury, but feel themselves with the Spirit of God, and therefore their longing for limitlessness will be quenched with the Spirit of God, and therefore they can give of their wealth to those that less unfortunate. But of course, we do not preach to give a man a fish. We preach, teach them how to fish, and therefore we teach them how to make other people also more educated, more effective, create communities everywhere on earth, create a system that everybody is helpful and working wherever they are, and they create more wealth than they take. That is the goal. Everybody should create more wealth than they take. If we do that, we will have less and less unfortunate and poor, and then we can increase the standard of living everybody as high as it could go. God is not against comfort. God is against the excesses and the effect it will have in other people. I hope that answers your question. If you have a follow-up, go ahead and Brahmamurti, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I've been contemplating on Adam and Eve and the serpent for some time, and I'm not actually sure how to formulate the question. Maybe the question can be formulated, did the serpent really lie? Because in a sense, when I said that they were not going to die, But in a sense, that is true. If we the soul cannot die, we cannot really die. The flesh can die, but our souls are eternal. So in that sense, of course, they were not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But in the other sense, they were falling back to ignorance, and that is also what you explain that death means. But the other part of the question might be that if they had not eaten from the tree of good and evil, weren't they ignorant to begin with? Maybe. I hope you understand what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, he was saying you're not going to die, but at the same time, he was encouraging them to do an action that God said don't do. That is when the lie comes, that somebody says, you're God, you can do whatever you want, go against God and don't follow the laws of God, but at the same time you are going to be, you know, immortal. You're going to live forever. God never promised that. God said, you will become immortal and live forever. Also, your soul lives forever, but you die. You know, after lifetime, you die and your soul goes to... and not to God, but to a place which is not quite higher consciousness or pure consciousness. That's what Christ said, there's going to be gnashes of the teeth, and it's a terrible place. And some people, you know, made it to hell with the fire and all those images, very strong images of what happened to those souls who do not reach pure consciousness. Therefore, the lie comes when lower nature or serpent says, oh, don't worry about it. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to live forever. And you don't have to follow God and his word and his scriptures. And that is when the lower nature is and you will fall because you are taking being God or in the image of God in a wrong way. You're not following the scripture, you're not following the word of God, you're not following and avoiding the thing God said don't do, at the same time you believe in your God. That is ignorance, that is destruction, and that is where Adam and Eve fell. They fell because they believed that they are God when they really did not follow and were not godly. I hope that answers your question. If you have follow-up, go ahead. We have a question from Michael Slide. Thank you. Your answers are excellent. The United States consumer 20% of the world's resources with only 5% on the population. I realize this needs to be corrected and I wish to do my part in correcting this. Well, actually the corrected, but this is more than 25%. That is the consumption in the U.S. is 38%, and anyway, that is not the point. This nation has been graced greatly with God, and there's a great purpose that has been chosen to fulfill, and hopefully they will realize more and more and become godly, as it's been prophesied. The great flood of higher consciousness and the truth will emanate from this nation at the end time. As we can see, it is true. This revelation came here. It didn't come to me when I was in Iran. I was, you know, it came to me when I come to the United States, which of course he comes from the east and shines in the west. God says there he will send his last revelation in the west. So United States has a lot to learn. It's a young country. It's very youthful, and they have to realize if they do not become godly and spiritual, as Christ said, who are the richest people? People in the United States. And what happened to the rich? As Christ said, it's harder for a camel to go to the eye of a needle than a rich person. And also United States gained the world. And hopefully they will not lose their soul, which then it's not going to be a good bargain for them. So that is a great truth that you just brought up. So people in the United States have to understand God's word and revelation. And of course, this revelation for them is closest to than anybody else. But of course, with the internet, everybody is close to it. So everybody have to learn this. Those rich people in Saudi Arabia, they have to learn this. Those rich people in, you know, other countries, nations, that they hoard the money or wealth for themselves and their people are not, you know, receiving any. That's why they have those resistance and those people who fight, you know, the rich people, you know, because they don't have anything to lose. You know, they don't have anything. So that is a way to stop the terrorism, to stop the class war, by realizing you have to give and create a more equal and equity on earth. So indeed, people in the United States have a lot to learn and a lot to give. But at the same time, God bless them with this revelation. Revelation is a blessing, at the same time it's a curse. In any time it comes to the people, we can see always revelation comes to the people that they are the richest in the world, and they, if they don't listen to the revelation, that grace will be taken away from them. So it is a warning for them. The sooner they realize this, the sooner they will be spared for suffering that is coming to everyone. All right. Is there any other question? Of course, you want to do your part. That's great. That's wonderful. And of course, the best help we can give is helping the mission, helping this revelation, helping us to spread this mission and bring greater awareness to not only Americans, to Europeans, to Asians, to African, to, you know, Australians, to every continent, that they should start, you know, creating communities of light wherever they are, and create resources that they can distribute and teach and educate children to become self-sufficient. But at the same time, Americans are the best workers, you know. I've never seen anybody work like them. They really work hard, you know. So it is a thing that other people can learn from Americans or Westerners, that, you know, they create wealth. They create hard for what they earn. Of course, they think it is theirs, so they don't have to share it with everyone. But at the same time, they also have to realize he who has more, he has or she has to give more. All right, I think we are at the end of our session today. And again, I hope this session was good for you and learned again our teachings. And as I said, this is sessions that to create great people and more elects, and these teachings is perfect. It's amazingly how perfect it is, and it pains me when I see somebody who comes and doesn't see this amazing vision, and they accuse, you know, such a beautiful word and the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost, and they accuse and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And you know what Christ said, those who blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And at least you guys, I hope, reach out and see this teaching, and not only reach out, come and work with me. I am open and willing and available to all those who want to work for the mission and spread this in any way. I want you guys to go and teach the mission, but at the same time, confirm with me so the teaching is still as pure as possible. I leave you all to God. Have a wonderful week. We maybe see you next Saturday. Salam, everybody.